Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to HJT Design Radio Straight Talk, a show dedicated to exploring all aspects of creating a great dental office, where the only dumb question is the question that's not asked. Here's Jim and Han.
Good evening, HJT Design Radio Straight Talk, Episode 0. Welcome, Jim Jarvis, the J in HJT Design here. And with me, I have my good friend and business associate, Han Tran, which is the T in HJT Design. Welcome, Han.
Good evening, Jim. Good evening, everyone. Thanks for logging in with us.
Yeah, this is going to be a very enjoyable and actually an exciting opportunity for us to open an avenue of forum, a discussion, a review that we've never ever been able to do in our field. HJT Design is a organization that was created. It was the brainchild of Dr. Bill Hunsinger. He's the H in HJT. Actually, he was one of Han and I's clients before we went into partnership together. And he came up with the idea that he thought there's got to be a better way to design and build dental facilities and do it in such a way that wasn't so labor intensive, so time consuming, and also something that was less costly. And so he came up with the idea. We sat down together around a table and hashed out, you know, this would work. And we've been doing this together since we opened our doors in 2006. Have had opportunities to work. Well, Han, you've worked all over the country and all over the world, actually.
Well, it's not all over the world, just about three countries. We're global. We designed dentist office across the country, pretty much from coast to coast and north to south. Wherever you are, we can get to you.
Exactly. And our company is actually created with the mission to provide a service that's beyond our clients' expectations as we create these solutions towards your goals. We're unique. Really, there's no one else out there that's like us. And with the expertise of the three talents that we pull together, it allows us to efficiently, effectively create these new offices, whether it's a new office, whether it's a renovation of an office, whether it's all aspects, I guess, when it comes to the dental design world. And like, Han, why don't you take a little opportunity and talk a little bit about what, you know, your expertise and what your role is within our organization?
Yeah, my primary role is to design everything and every project. The things that are unique about us, I think, is we came from from an industry that gave us a lot of different level experiences, different industries that we can bring to the table that help not just to solve dental-specific problems and challenges, but that we can bring ideas that are used in cross-industry to enhance the design and the function of dentist offices. So my role is from the very start is to initiate with the potential client, answer all their questions about their needs, their want, their goals, mainly just to walk them through from the very inception of the project, whatever that may be, whether it's working with a existing office that had been around since the 1980s, and modernize it, improve the flow and the efficiencies and the function of the facility, as well as bring it up to date aesthetically. Or it's a raw space in a retail facility or a business office, and envision what it can be, and then work with them to identify their needs at the at presently, as well as when they grow, so that way when we proceed with the design, it can be designed with the understanding that as they grow, the expansions into additional space would not disrupt what they have currently, and it could be done in such a way that that is a lot smoother than starting from scratch. Designing from with the with the end vision in mind, I help them to plan their their existing facility and their future goal as well. We also are very capable of working with raw land and design from the site to the building and any future needs and stuff like that, because it's pretty critical that in the design process that we look at how they're going to use it in the future, so that they don't end up relocating every time they outgrow their space. So my goal
exactly, and that's a very important point, Han. One of the things that I wanted the readers or our listeners to understand too is you've been in the design business for plus 30 years.
Yes,
exactly. Now, and so there's a level of expertise that, I mean, obviously you haven't been designing dental offices for 30 years, but you take all of that knowledge and that talent that you gathered from designing other facilities and bring that to the table as you delve into the unique aspects of actually designing dental facilities. They're one of the most complicated, in my opinion, one of the most complicated building types that I've ever worked on as well. I've worked for the last 30 plus years as in the architectural field, registered in numerous states across the country, and that allows us to do work, again, full service work all the way across basically every state in the union, either with directly or in conjunction with maybe a local architect, but it allows us to help a multitude of clients that are out there. The other aspect that's rather unique about you, Han, is your role in Dentaltown as a moderator.
Yeah, it's besides being a moderator, I'm a design. I provide design critique on Dentaltown. Let me just kind of backtrack on some of the things that Jim was highlighting earlier. Is that there is certainly a lot of individual, very talented individual that throughout their career very focused on a certain sector of the industry, such as, let's say, we have individual that are expert in the design of factories or design of restaurants and hospitals and school and museum, prison and all that stuff, including expert and or specialist in design of dentist offices. I don't want to take any anything away from those talented people. The unique thing about when you look at design professional that going to provide services to you is that they're not just simply focused on one area. I find that sometimes when you become such an expert in the area, you can't work outside of that particular box. I've been fortunate in my career.
We call that tunnel vision, Han. You end up with tunnel vision.
I think that's what you call it in the United States, right? Mm-hmm. But Now, I've been fortunate is that I've worked in all those aspects, factories, prison, hospitals, museum, corporate offices and stuff like that. So those area outside of dental facility also have their challenges, very similar to dentist offices for that matter. And you can take a lot of those knowledge and apply it where it can enhance the design of dentist offices in a great way. For instance, a trend right now is a lot of dentist offices are going to retail facilities. And so if you have somebody that may have designed dentist offices but have not or have very little knowledge of retail facility, they would be at a disadvantage because they may not be familiar with the how a retail facility is designed, the purpose of its design, how it's used. And so cross-industry knowledge really, really help us to bring a higher level of services and vision in the design that we do.
Excellent. Dental Town, unique. You want to talk about that, please?
Jim?
Yeah, the Dental Town side?
And Dental Town is a community that's specifically for dentists to exchange ideas and learn various aspect of their career, their industry. Part of my role on there, or part of my function, is to provide technical input and critique when it comes to design. Individuals that are considering or in the process of having a office design, wherever that design services came from, they take their concept, and sometimes it's almost finished, and maybe just a step away from permitting and things like that, and they bring it to the table and they solicit design critique. And I have this belief that when you ask that question, you want an answer. There is no sugarcoating to the answer. You want to know, I just give it. I give it in as much detail as possible. I mean, just almost borderline, like I was already hired to do a project and or correct the design shortcomings. And so that it's a service that we volunteered to do because I think it's a, you know, it's a way to give to the community. It gives us exposure, but I think it's a service that or a avenue for those that have never been involved in the construction of anything. So dentist office, it can be very complicated, and not anybody that have a pencil and a ruler can and should design dentist offices. So,
you have reviewed thousands and thousands of dental office designs. Have you ever actually counted how many?
No. I think after 12, I ran out of fingers to count them. it's a high number, and some of the designs are done by architects, well-known architects. A lot of them are designed by supply companies. Their purpose is different than ours. We don't sell anything. We don't have any allegiance to any supply company, equipment company, or anything like that. So the way we approach the design is, our only goal is to service our client, give them the best that their money can buy, give them the best service that we can afford to provide, do everything that we can to make sure that they that every square inch of that facility that they have is put to optimal use with the with the best that we can do. I mean, I have been involved in a lot of different facilities, so when I look at design that are put up, I look at if I am the one who's writing the check for the rent or the mortgage, how would I use this? And that's the approach I take, is that it's my personal property, my personal space. I'm responsible for it. I'm going to get the best out of it. And whoever posts that, the layout or that design will be the beneficiary of that particular, that particular ambition or that particular vision. So it could be, in fact, the design could be done by Frank Lloyd Wright for that matter. We just look at that as it's a design. What was done, why it's done, and where can it be improved? And we throw it on the table and let that individual who posted take that back to their team and make the modification if they deem so appropriate. Otherwise, they move forward with what they have. After all, at the end of the day, we make the recommendation. They take it or leave it, and they live with what they have. It's a free service.
I guess that's why we work so well together in all the things that we do, is both Bill, you and I have the same philosophy. We're here to basically give the advice. We're here to give our professional opinion. We're not here to tell a client what they want to hear. It's what they need to hear. And we, obviously do it in a nice way, but at the same time, we're not going to sugarcoat things, and we're going to lay out the facts, because as a individual, a dentist who's trying to create his or her new facility, they need to have facts to make the proper decisions around, not sugar-coated, as I call gobbledygook. Basically you say, well, this looks good, or this is the reason why you want to do that. Well, why? What are the facts behind that? What's the logic? What's the criterias? How do these things integrate and stitch together? I myself have been in as the architect as part of this organization. I've been in the architectural business for 30 plus years, as registered, as I said before, have worked as managing principal on several other firms across the country. Had a great opportunity to get together and hook up with Hahn here in the northwestern Ohio region. Hahn and I hired Hahn in the organization that we worked together before we started HJT. And Bill, as I said before, Bill was a client and doing one of his facilities. Then obviously we all hit it off. We all work well together, and Bill came up with that idea. My expertise is really come into the mix in dealing with the architectural component. Most people don't understand what an architect even does. As an architect,
they do blueprints, Jim. They do blueprints.
Right, and they're not even blue anymore. The last set of blueprints I saw was actually for my house, which was built in 1927. Quite a while ago. Documents that were well over 90 plus years old. And as an architect, we're actually the conductor. We're the conductor of this orchestra, of the team, the team that is going to be pulled together. And we're going to be talking about a lot of these aspects in our future episodes. So I don't want to get too in-depth into these areas, because in actuality, I could burn up the whole time slot that we've associated for today's first episode. But we orchestrate this team that is comprised of obviously your designer, the architect who deals with areas of code, we deal with areas of constructability, we deal with the spatial requirements, we deal with aesthetics, as we deal with working and orchestrating, coordinating things like the civil engineer, the mechanical engineer, the plumbing engineer, the structural engineer. There is a list, a multitude of individuals that are part of the team that most people don't even understand or realize that they need to develop a facility. And that could be a facility that is just a renovation of an existing retail center. It doesn't always have to be something that's coming out of the ground from straight, you know, blank dirt. We orchestrate that. We help to pull everything together so that the ultimate goal is that we create something that works for the client, satisfies their needs, specifically when it comes to their spatial requirements, their size requirements, their operatory numbers, what all needs to accomplish within that particular building, along with the life safety issues that are required by code. And it's all those nasty little requirements that most people don't even realize that exist, like things like handicap codes that require doorways to be of a certain size, stair requirements, corridor requirements, fire ratings, all these complicated, unique areas that need to be accomplished that get integrated into what Han talked about as the blueprints. Those blueprints are actually just a tool of what we create. They're given to a construction entity, be it a general contractor or a trade contractor or project manager, and that person then builds your facility from those blueprints. We tell them how it needs to be built. We show them of what materials, what colors, what construction techniques, so that it is built properly. We also help in the construction process by doing things like reviewing shop drawings. Shop drawings are things where the contractor will say, okay, these are the pieces of equipment that I'm going to put in here. Are they the right ones? We have to review them to make sure their detailed instructions match up with what we design. So all of that expertise from all the project types that I've worked on over my career, everything from health clubs to churches to retail centers, office structures, multi-story facilities. We bring all of that together so that, as Han said, you have this wealth of information that allows our construction of a facility done by a contractor to benefit from that and effectively do it in a much quicker, more efficient way than others. So we're very proud of what we do. We're also very humble in the opportunities that we've been given, because a lot of times Han and I and Bill will look at each other and say, wow, we really would have been able to help so much more if we were brought in earlier. I guess that's one of the biggest aspects that sometimes we discuss between ourselves, is if we would have been brought in earlier to the process, we could have saved our client so much money, so much frustration, so much time, all those kind of things. It's never too early to bring us into a project.
And you should bring us in early. And yes. In our second segment, probably we can kind of touch base on why you want to work with an architect versus a supply company, for instance. So it could possibly answer a lot of the questions to start out. Jim left out one item on the list of who we are, is that after 30-some years in the architectural field, we're still very committed, very excited about it, to get up in the morning and go, what can I do? So it may sound a little cliche, but we love what we do.
That's true. We have to go through this every day, right?
Yeah. I mean, it can be, once in a while you get a project that goes super, super clean. You know, there's regardless of the project where we start and where we end, there's a lot of pieces to corral together and hold together, because there's literally millions of moving parts moving in a different direction, and it's challenging, but it's you know, it can be very fun if it's done properly and having the right people, the right team to work on it.
Yeah, the rewarding part is to me the most rewarding part is when you look at that original design that's created in three dimensions on a computer, which is, by the way, how we design. You'll get an opportunity if you ever want to work with us to be able to see that kind of work. You'll see the reality in a 3D world, in a virtual reality. Then to see it actually come up out of the ground and to be built and to stand within that space and experience it, knowing that you're positively affecting every person that comes through those doors. It's very exciting and also humbling to be able to know that we can have that much impact on someone, as well as make it a very profitable facility for the client, the dentist who's trying to, grow a business and be able to better himself along with, his staff. It's just a very rewarding career, and wouldn't change it for anything. Now, with Bill's expertise as part of the team, we haven't had a chance to talk about him. He's been in the business for years and years and years.
83.
He's got numerous practices. I think, how many now, Juan?
Let me see. Had two general practices that I'm aware of. Has an orthodontics practice.
Yeah, just opened the Waterville one, so that's three general practices.
Several crown and several labs.
Yeah, several labs. So he said before he has literally renovated and built dozens of projects. So he's already done all the mistakes that everybody needs to ever do. Why reinvent the wheel? There's just a level of expertise that Bill brings to the table, and knowledge base that is it's priceless. To be able to have that as we work through our clients' needs and try to meet their desires to be able to what they're trying to accomplish.
Yeah, Bill is still very active in dentistry, so he still see a lot of patients. Perhaps one of our episodes we have him on, so you can call in and pick his brain. One of the main reasons why HAT was started is that when he started in his career, ambitious and young, he made a few blunder in term of buying and building practices, and he would be the first to tell you, "I messed up. That was the wrong thing to do. It's a waste of time, waste of money." And so, the old saying is that the best teacher. Let me see. It's Jim. Help me out. What's the phrase that we say in the United States?
Oh, the best teacher is experience.
I think the right terminology that they left out is that other people's experience would be the best
other
teachers.
People's experience, yeah. Well, like in our discussion we had today with Bill in one of the reviews of the project that we're doing, he was talking about that old farmhouse over in Swanton that he purchased for, $50,000 and should have tore it down. Because he put, he didn't purchase it for 50, but he put $50,000 into a building that should have been torn down. And like you say, he'll say that right to everybody, that after he's gone through that and the headaches that were involved in that project many, many years ago, he said, yeah, that thing should have been torn down and we should have started anew. So
and
there's
hindsight truly is 20/20. And he did say, he said, because you look at older buildings, and there's plenty of them out there, and you say, I can keep that. I can buy that one for cheap. Some people can give you the building for free, and you end up renovating and all that stuff and spend a lot more than building it new. Okay, don't get us wrong. You know, as architectural professional, I myself love old buildings. But there's sometimes you have to look at and say, is it worth it to keep this building and dump a lot of money into it if it doesn't have real architectural significance? Okay, so it's an area that we can look at and make and give the recommendations so that you don't make any financial blunder buying dumping your money into a building you can't get any money back out of it and continue to feed it because you couldn't do anything to upgrade the structure, the system, and things like that. So it's always best to talk to design professionals that give it to you straight rather than, hey, we can squeeze 10 operatories into this little old farmhouse or this factory or this schoolhouse. You have to do it more logically, and it has to make financial sense. Emotion usually are not the best thing to bring to the table when it comes to looking at buildings.
Yeah, we got to deal with the facts and realities. I remember back earlier in my career after getting out of school, I was working with a firm, and we were doing a lot of historic preservation rework projects. And it was over in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, a beautiful old, happened to be an old hotel that was in a historic register. That project took an unbelievable amount of construction effort to, one, bring back to structural integrity, and then to turn it into luxury apartments. It was absolutely fantastic when it was done, but the effort necessary and the financial money dumped into that project was just phenomenal. Now, there's some people that have a desire to do that, and if you're able to and willing to and want to do that, then that's great. But from a business standpoint, it may not make the best decision when you're trying to do a dental office. And we'll help you through those decision-making processes so you know the facts of what you're going to get yourself into. That's an important aspect about one of the things that we do that's really out of the realm of the normal architectural firm. And again, we'll talk more about that in future episodes of just actually what does an architectural firm provide so that you can compare apples to apples when you're talking with potential architectural firms and design firms. Because there's so many people out there that can do maybe one aspect or two aspects as opposed to multiple aspects. With that, Hanna, I want to open up the discussion a little bit about one of our, it's kind of like our midway discussion about, we've got an upcoming seminar in Chicago. Do you want to talk a little bit about that and inform everybody? Obviously, folks, if you want to call in and ask any question, you should have seen a phone number on your Blog Talk banner. But that phone number is 657-383-1442. And you'll be connected into our switchboard, and we'll hopefully give you an opportunity to, you can ask anything. Any question to Han and myself, and we'll do our best to give you an answer. And if we don't know the answer, we're going to let you know that we'll get the answer back to you once we find out the answer. But Han, you want to talk about Chicago?
And you don't have to give us your real name.
No, you don't. You don't have to give us your real name if you don't want to. Chicago.
Okay. In Chicago, we were invited to join a continuing education course on extraction. So the presenter, Dr. Tommy Murphy, want to provide various expertise to the to the weekend, so that the attendees can you know, get exposed to various things and meet those that provide those expertise face to face and ask you know, ask the questions that they normally don't have the opportunity to do, you know. And so we're going to be there, the three of us, the HJT team, will be there to introduce ourselves, tell them about a little bit about our services and what we can do, and then have a session that they can ask and pick our brains of perhaps things that they have going on that they're still trying to figure it out. Because on a daily basis, when I provide design critique, it could be as simple as, hey, you know, I'm thinking about using pocket doors. What is the pros and cons? Or my office is really noisy. What should I do? Or, I know, my carpet has been down for 30 years and it grew ugly on me. What would you recommend? And things like that. So we'd be there to, you know, to be part of the CE course, and hopefully some of you that are aware of it or attending it, if you have a project that you're working on or considering and it's already in process and you're trying to see if there's a better way to do things, let me brag a little bit. Yes, I know how to make a better mousetrap. Okay, so bring your stuff and sit down and I will go through it, and then perhaps I could help you to get to the next level with your office design. Okay, so
do we have do we have a contact information or a way that our listeners can, if they would like to be part of the upcoming seminar, which is what date? August the 25th, is it?
The 25th. Yeah. It's in Chicago at the O'Hare. Jimmy, is it the holiday?
I believe so.
Is it the holiday?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We can, we probably can put this on our website. And yeah, we probably should put this on the website. I'm sorry. I wasn't prepared to present and provide the address and location, but it's on the 25th. If you, you know, log into our website at www.hatdesign.com and post a question to us, we can provide that to you. But I think it's a, you know, it should be a great event, and it gives you an opportunity to hopefully meet us in person and maybe you know that we're pretty, you know, we're decent guys just trying to do an honest job.
Exactly. Another thing that you can get on our website if you would like is our construction guideline booklet. It's a downloadable booklet which goes through a lot of the aspects of the design process. It's a good basis for at least the dentist to be able to look at, to be able to understand the basics of what they're potentially going to be getting themselves into. It's got a lot of pointers involved in it that allows you to have a good knowledge base as you're trying to move forward with your design.
Yeah, it's a lot of information they didn't teach you in dental school.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
No, it's you know, if you are contemplating and were planning, you know, to start your own practice and stuff like that, and really, again, we don't sell anything. You know, it's the information there is for you for free. You know, knowledge is power, and I strongly believe in that. Being informed will help you to make the best decision for yourself. You know, there's nothing worse than being convinced that you should do this or that when you don't really have a full understanding of what it's about. You know, part of our missions and part of our job is we don't just design buildings. We educate our clients so that they make the best decision when they need to make decision that you know, that pertain to their investment into their office, because after all, we're not designing for ourselves. We design it so that it's a place that they can go to, function in the best possible means, where they're, you know, where it's comfortable, where things make sense. If you ask a question, or if I ask a question, the worst answer that I don't want to hear is because I say so. If you have a question to ask, you want things, you want to know things. When we design and you say, what is the benefit of the pros and cons in doing this versus that? Those who are charged with the task of design for you, they should be able to answer your question of why they do what they do, why they recommend what they do recommend. Otherwise, it's the wrong approach. That's just my opinion, that they have to know why they do things, why they recommend, because after all, you're investing a lot of money into a building. The wrong answer is because I say so or because I am the best. No, they need to be able to explain to you why they do what they do. Okay, that's the way.
Yeah, exactly, because there are so many decisions that need to be made when it comes to developing a new facility, whether it's a renovation or a new construction. And that's not just the things like what color am I going to paint the walls and what am I going to put on the floor. It's so many other decisions that have to be made, and we'll help guide through those decisions, and we'll bring out aspects like the longevity. For example, this particular floor material versus that particular floor material. One may cost X, one may cost Y, but how long will X last and how long will Y last based upon your use? We'll be able to help you to have that knowledge so that you can make an informed decision on what's the best solution. The most expensive is not always the best. There are a lot of inexpensive materials that are, if used properly and placed in the proper location for that particular use, are very good and last quite a long time. You were saying, huh?
And sometimes that decision is not so much the aesthetic or the durability. If you're leasing a space, do you, for 10 years before you build your dream facility, do you want to put down $60 per square yard carpet and then leave, $45 worth of it on the floor when your lease is over? Or do you want, you can still get the aesthetic that you want, all the wow factors, but it should be priced reasonably so that when the lease is over, you're not leaving a whole chunk of money on the floor or on the wall for the landlord. So the decisions of what to put down, what to install, and all that stuff should be based on your usability and longevity, the life cycle and all that good stuff, and your investment. I certainly wouldn't want to leave any money for the next guy to pick up. I assume that most of our clients, the dentists, don't either. So we can help you through all of those issues, answer all those questions, and then you can make the decision that's best for you.
Exactly. And that segues perfectly into really what are our next episodes, the future episodes of HJT Design Radio Straight Talk going to be. It's going to be a discussion of all the aspects that we deal with on a day-to-day basis in designing and working through dental facilities. But also we're going to bring in and have live interviews with some very key important players and team members with their knowledge and their information that we integrate on a daily basis in the stuff that we do. So, we're going to talk with lenders. There are a bunch out there that specialize and deal directly with the dental facility, but there are a few very good ones. And we have an excellent contact and information source, and a fellow by the name of Mike Montgomery from Live Oak Bank down in North Carolina. Just a wealth of information and an unbelievably good guy who will be just an exciting interview to be able to give that knowledge and information out to all the listeners, along with real estate folks. We have an individual that we work with, along with others, that has just a ton of knowledge when it comes to the real estate side. So you'll be able to ask questions of them on what's the best way of doing this or what's the best way of doing that, or how, you know, the old question, should I lease or should I buy? Should I build new or should I renovate? All those things are something that needs to be discussed, and what we'll be able to hopefully bring in the interviews with the people that we have in our upcoming episodes. We also have a leasing expert who deals specifically in the dental world in setting up and creating leases, and what are the specifics, the catch buttons, the hot buttons that need to be checked off when you lease. Han pointed out the one very important one. Do I do this for a lease that I'm going to be here for, you know, 5 to 10 years, or do I do something else? There's so many things that need to be discussed. Then we've got all those wonderful questions that are out there. They come at us on a daily basis at the Han in Dentaltown, but things like, you know, where do I start? I'm sure there's so many dentists that are out there that are asking that question right now as they're trying to figure out what they want to do is, you know, where do I start this whole process? Or things like, who do I need on my team? We're going to go through that. That's going to be one of our upcoming episodes of just the whole team, outline who they are, who you should have on there, and what you're going to do with those individuals and what you expect from them, what they should do as a team member. Here's a good one, Han. Who do you talk to first? How would you answer that one?
Yeah, that's right. I think it depends on what they sell.
Exactly. Okay. You got to be so careful about who you talk to.
Our booklet on our website, it covers some of those areas of the role of every individual on your team, what they're responsible for, when they should be put into place. Of course, there's always exception to the rules, but there, you know, it's just simply selecting the team. There's so many various, there's traditional ways of doing things, and then there's a slew of hybrid and blends of things. But the mainly is that you get a little education. You have to find that comfort zone where you can best function in, and then you allow the professionals that you bring on your team to do their job. One of the worst things that I think it could happen is that you hire professionals and then you micromanage them and tell them what to do and how to do their job in an area that you may not have any experience or any training or knowledge in. You're not doing yourself any service. So there's just so many, you know, so many various way of doing things. There's so many ways that you can really mess up. So getting informed should be the very first thing. And again, who comes to the table first? Well, you have to determine that. But we can only give you the information, and then you make the decision. Right, Jim?
Yeah, exactly. Now, obviously, we always like to say we like to be the first ones to be part of the discussion because we're going to give the facts as opposed to anything else, but we let the doctors make that decision. Here's always a very important one. We're going to have a complete episode on how many ops do I need? I mean, that's a question. How many times do you see on Dentaltown? How many ops do I need in my new practice or my renovation or my new build? Just a difficult thing to actually answer in a short sentence, because there are so many factors. There are the factors of, okay, review what your current patient level is, where are you at, what your demographics will allow you to do within your region. Bill is valuable in reviewing all of that, and he'll be able to very quickly identify what you need to be at, where you're at within your practice itself. Are you looking to bring on associates? Do you already have associates? How do your associates work? I mean, there's just a plethora of questions that will need to be asked to help answer that question on how many ops do I need. It's not just as simple as say, well, you need 6 ops no matter what. Well, you might need 12. And, that's just a very, very crucial. And then bring into the aspect the architecture and designs. Okay, where are you going to place it? Where is it going to be? What's your property like? Do you have property? If you do have property, can you fit that many ops on that particular property with all the other things you need to have, which is everything from green space, parking spaces, and of course, building. Here's a great one is, how can I afford this? Han, we've talked about that thing at length with Bill.
I'm sorry, Jim, you broke off for a second.
One of the future episodes we're going to have, especially with Bill as part of this, is how can I afford this?
That's the million-dollar question that we get asked a lot after how many ops do I need, is how much it's going to cost me. Once we have a chance to interview our client and see what their need, what their plan, and things like that, their affordability, we can formulate a game plan. To make sure that they can, they can afford what they want to have, they can handle what they want to build, and then design it so that they can, again, grow as they mature in their profession, grow as they develop new skill, grow as they population increases and stuff. We ask a lot of questions, mainly because we want to have a full understanding how our client function, what their ultimate goal is, so that way we can design and serve them in the best manner possible, so that they have what they want rather than what we want them to have.
Exactly, and it's unique to the individual dentist. We've done numerous dental facilities around the country, and not a single one are alike. I can say that without a doubt. There's not a single one that has a specific style. You can't go by and pick out a HJT dental office design. That doesn't exist.
That's true.
Yeah, each one is unique. Each one is different. Each one is specifically special to the individual dentist. And I think we're very proud of that. I know we. I am.
Yes, Jim. It's a characteristic that I think that I can brag about. I have been in several firms that are specialists in their field. Healthcare is one of them, and museum and so on. And I find that. That it was disappointing to learn that they are more production, they're geared more toward production than creation. So when you go to a facility that was done by those organizations, you can almost pick out who, without knowing who did it, you can almost identify the building that they've designed. For instance, there is a company that in Ohio, if you drive through the Ohio or Michigan area, you can pick out their building and say, oh, that was done by that company because all their buildings had green roofs or red bricks. Okay. I don't know of, I'm assuming that most people, most clients, most dentists want their office to be uniquely identified, their style, their taste, who they are, rather than one that was done and duplicated in so many ways that belong to others. And so when you go to, when you go and visit a friend in whether it's in California, Hawaii, or the Carolinas, and they all have the same feature, for me it's troublesome. Okay, so when we approach our design for our client, it is all custom. There isn't any component that we pull out and say, I like this, and we're going to use it from here on. Everything is designed specifically for the space, for the client. And it's not mass produced.
Exactly. Now, the other area that we're going to discuss on a weekly basis, because we're going to have this show every Tuesday at 8 p.m., and I'd like one of the topics to be, Han, to pull out a hot topic from the Dental Town Forum. So next time when we have our show, hopefully we'll have a hot topic that was been discussed that week, and we'll discuss a little bit about it and our opinion and our thoughts on that particular topic. Now, one of the things that go ahead, Han.
And of course we welcome any caller to call into question or want to talk about anything besides the hot topic of discussion, because we're always open to provide answers that you need to have answered.
Exactly, and again, at any time during the show, you can call into the guest call-in number at 657-383-1442. That'll put you onto the switchboard, and we'll be able to listen to you live. And as Han said, you don't have to give your real name unless you want to.
That's right. That's right. Now I equate that to like being in school. I don't know too many people who want to sit in the front row and raise their hand to ask their question because they're afraid that all their peers are going to think they're a dummy for asking that silly question. Again, for us, we believe that the only dumb question is the one you don't ask.
Exactly. Without a doubt. If you don't ask a question, what can you do? Well, the other area that I wanted to bring out that is you'd like to have more information about HJT Design and what we do, you can get more information at our website, www.hjtdesign.com, or we can be contacted directly through our 800 number. It's 1-866-213-1268. You can ask for either myself or Han. And if we don't have that answer that you're looking for, we definitely will do everything we can to get an answer back to you. We have just a few more minutes here before the end of our hour show here. And we haven't, unfortunately, had a caller call in for the question. So I guess I wanted to throw out a question that we've seen asked so many times before. And let Han throw a couple things at it, myself go throw a couple things at it, and that has to do with how many operatories can I get within a particular space or size? Han, is there a rule of thumb that should be utilized when beginning the planning process of how many ops and how big should they be?
Yes, Jim. It depends on where you are in your career, whether how many treatment room you're gonna, you know, want. There is a rule of thumb we call the design factors. Of course, this is what we use at HJT. Other organization and supplier may have a different answer. Our goal is to utilize as little real estate as possible, because when you lease a space for 10 years, every square inch count. Okay. However, with that in mind, our goal is not to squeeze you into, you know, a little closet where you can't move around to function in. But the design factor that we often design around is between 300 to 350 square foot per operatory. That factor there would include all of your administration area, your clinical area, your staff area. So if you are looking at a building, let's say a 6 operatory practice, you simply multiply that by 300 to 350, and that would tell you approximate size of an office space you need. Okay, and then we can certainly go into greater detail that's leasing. If you are building a brand new building, the same principle apply, but then you would say, how much land do I need? Okay, we can, you know, we have homeowners that would figure that out as well. Jim, I think that's kind of pretty much covered that in terms of what is the square and how big of a space you need based on the number of operatories you're looking for.
Exactly. And that's just a rule of thumb. That's not a hard, fast, thou shalt do this and only this. There are so many other factors that are involved in that decision that it may be a little bit bigger, it may be a little bit smaller. What are you trying to accomplish within that particular operatory? Do you have side cabinetry on both sides? Do you have only cabinetry on one side? Do you have no cabinetry? There are just a multitude of areas in there, but that's a good rule of thumb to at least begin in the planning process around, correct?
Yeah, I think in the planning process, you should identify all your needs, all your wants, all your things that you like to have, and you know, your must-have stuff. For instance, it is a rule of thumb. Okay, some may say, I'm the doctor. I definitely want to have my own toilet room. I want to have my own gymnasium. The more that you want, the bigger it becomes. So just a straightforward, this is a dental practice with X number of chairs for patient in the waiting room, the requirement for public toilet room, your staff area, your staff room, mechanical room, sterilization, lab, and yada, and all your list of the typical items on your shopping list. The rule of thumb of 300 to 350 square foot should accommodate that. The important thing is the best shape for a dentist's office is that sexy rectangular shape. Okay, with as few columns as possible. No, a hexagonal shape or a star shape, space with numbers of jocks and stuff like that isn't it, because it will cost you a lot more for a lot less usable spatial space.
Excellent. Also, just to step back, we do have the information about August
25th.
Yes, over there Saturday. It is, you go to www.weteachextractions.com. I believe it's $414 for 8 hours of CE, and there will be 11 hot topics dealing with dentistry. So, again, you could go to weteachextractions.com to get in any information that you might like to investigate about being there in Chicago for the seminar. And it's not just going to be the three of us. There are numerous other individuals.
Yeah, the contact for that is Dr. Tommy Murphy.
Exactly. Well, I think we reached the time on our show, so I'd like to say thank you for joining us and being part of our very first episode, episode zero, and we look forward to everything we can potentially have a discussion about in the weeks and shows to come. Thank you, Han.
Have a good evening, everyone. Thanks for tuning in.
You've been listening to HJT Design Radio Straight Talk with Jim and Han. To contact us and find out more info about upcoming shows, please log on to our website at www.hjtdesign.com. Until next time.